بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا أرحم الراحمين. ما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We inshallah start today a new series after we finish the seerah with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this series would start, inshallah, will continue on the Sahaba, the companions around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the full moon in the darkest night, then the Sahaba were the stars around him. The Sahaba are a role model for us and a role model to mankind. Jazakallah khair. Okay. Every nation and every group of people look up for their own heroes. They look up for people to follow in their footsteps. I mean, we see there is this, we see that in every day, in every time, in every nation. If you look at the biography channel, sometimes they spend an hour, for the lack of heroes, talking about a famous criminal. I mean, there would be an hour about Al Capone or some other. And we rarely hear about one of the greatest people that ever lived. I mean, much less they never mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but yet they don't mention some of the people that actually had great impact on the history of mankind, such as Abu Bakr and such as Umar ibn al-Khattab. And it is our duty, our Islamic duty, to understand the life of these people. And these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. We know that in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that people will be divided into three sections. Kuntum azwajan thalatha. And there is the people of the right that will go to paradise. And there is, we'll be from them inshallah, and there is the people of the left. Wa alaykum salam. But there is this group that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called as-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon. The first, the one that got there first, that embraced Islam first, the first Muslims. And the ones that go to the forefront of Islam first. And among them are these Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those السابقون, السابقون can be translated those that, وعليكم السلام, that got to the front row, the ones that got there first, the winners in the race, الأولون, the first people. من المهاجرين والأنصار, from the مهاجرين that immigrated from Mecca to Medina, and from the أنصار of Medina. والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان, and those who followed in their footsteps in the good deeds. رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are pleased with their Lord. وأعد لهم جنات. السابقون. As-sabiqoon means the ones that win, that got there and won in the race. The one that got there first. And al-awwaloon means the first, literally. The one that are actually the first. So it's a similar meaning. But the sabiqoon adds the meaning that there is a race, there is something to hurry and get to. So, of these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them, and they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the best places in paradise. These are the people that we would like to know about, so we can follow in their footsteps. So we can need to understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. What did they do to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so pleased with them? What did they do to deserve the highest place in paradise? And it is a duty among us, for us to understand that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. That we made you a nation of moderation. Or Actually, it can also mean a nation, the best nation, the best nation among all nations. So you can be witnesses on mankind. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be a witness upon you, or for you. That means that if mankind came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they said, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we could not worship you. The attraction of this life was too great." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Well, look at the nation of Islam, of Muslims. Look at these Muslims and see how they were able to follow me." And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to our own judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we could not do salah. Salah was too much for us." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us the worship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that would be a testimony against us if we don't do the right thing. So to understand the life of these sahaba, those who are on the forefront of our Islamic history, is very important, because we will be judged by their standards, and we will be judged by their dedication, and we will be judged by their faith and their sincerity to this religion and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear that the rank and the status of these people is very high, and no matter who we are and what we do, they would still be as-sabiqoon. They would still be the one in the forefront in this religion. And it is fair, and to understand why it is fair, we need to understand the lives and the biography and the history of these people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "لو أنفق أحدكم مثل جبل أحد ذهبا مثل جبل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم." That means if any of you spend in the way of Allah the weight of the mountain of Uhud of gold, it would not be equal to a handful of what they have spent. How is that fair? We will see. We will see in this series why it is fair. It is fair because they believed when everybody rejected faith. It is fair because they steadfast when everybody was shaken, and was shaken very hard. And we saw some examples when we were studying Sirah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sacrifice, the torment and the torture they had to go through, the famine, the poverty, and they had no support but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they steadfast and went on to deliver the message of Islam to humanity and to the world. And for their sacrifice and for their patience on torment, we are here in this masjid today, inshallah, and we are Muslims, inshallah, and that's because of what they had to do to get us here. And just one last ayah I will mention in Surah Al-Hadid, ayah number 10. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل فتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلًا وعد الله الحسنى." To emphasize that their rank and their status is higher than anybody else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hadid, "It is not equal, it is not the same, those of you who spent and fought before the conquest, that is the conquest of Mecca, before the conquering of Mecca, and those who fought after the conquest of Mecca, those who spent before and they fought before the victory, the great victory of Islam in Mecca, are higher in degree, or they have higher rank than those who did the same thing after Islam became victorious and after Islam had a great state. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The best century, the best generation is my generation," that is him, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba around him, and then the generation after that, and the generation after that. That is al-Sahaba and al-Tabi'een. Al-Sahaba and al-Tabi'een. And it is natural to start with the best of Sahaba. The one that followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among the group of Muslims right behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The man that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that nobody stepped on the earth who was better than this man. And Radman that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is the best man after al-Nabiyyin, after those who receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that man is obviously Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma wati al-arda ba'da al-anbiya'i khayrun min Abi Bakr. That nobody stepped on this earth that was better than the Prophet, after the Prophet, that was better than Abu Bakr. So he is the best man that never received the revelation. Anbiya comes first, the Prophets come first, and then Abu Bakr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given him many titles, and he had made him the Imam when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his final illness before his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the first Muslim of men. He is the first man to embrace Islam. He is the first successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared it very clearly that Abu Bakr is on the forefront of the companions. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I never competed with Abu Bakr for anything that is good unless he would beat me, unless he would get that good before I do. And in one time, Umar brought half his wealth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he saw that Abu Bakr brought everything to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything that he had. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Bakr, what did you leave your family? Abu Bakr said, I left them Allah and His Prophet. So Umar said, I will never compete with you for anything else again, because he would always beat him. Umar once saw a woman after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that lived outside Medina in a small tent. She was a blind old woman. And a man would come and clean her tent, and he would cook her food, and he would do everything for her. And Umar would come try to fix and help that woman and fix her food, and he would see that's always done. And then one time he hid, and he was waited to see who is that man who comes to help this old blind lady. And he saw Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr was the Khalifa. Abu Bakr was the ruler of Arabia at that time. And his armies were in Persia and Rome. And he was there cleaning the tent for this small, for this elderly little woman. And he said, لَقَدْ أَتْعَبْتَ مَنْ جَاءَ بَعْدَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرَ. You will make those who come after you very tired trying to catch up with your good deeds. In one hadith, that Abu Bakr will enter paradise. And Abu Bakr, by the way, is the first of the ten that are already given the glad timing of going into paradise. And in one hadith, that the first scale, the first mizan, that we will be put in the day of judgment is for Umar. So the Sahaba said, well, what about Abu Bakr? What about Abu Bakr if that's not the first one who will be, he will have the judgment? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, لا يقام لمثل أبي بكر الميزان. Abu Bakr will not have a scale. Abu Bakr will enter paradise without having to be judged with his good deeds. He has so many positions, so many events that are so pivotal in our Islamic history that changed the history of Islam. And Abu Bakr was an important player in these events. Some of these events is the day of Isra, when everybody rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of the Muslims, the new Muslims, went back and they decided that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a true prophet. And Abu Bakr steadfast, and on that day he got his title, As-Siddiq. The day of Al-Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to choose one companion to be his companion. His traveling friend on that important journey for Islam, and he chose none but Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And in that journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Abu Bakr the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling upon his companion, and that is in the Quran, that is Abu Bakr, that do not be saddened, that Allah is indeed with us. And then the day when the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the strongest of Sahaba collapsed, when Umar started saying that don't say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, he is there with Allah, like Musa went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people on days like this can go into a high state of confusion that can affect the religion for days and centuries to come. The apostles and the disciples of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, on a day like that, when Jesus was lifted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were shaken, and some of them decided that this was not just a prophet. Some of the followers of Isa decided that he was God. He was more than a human. And on a day like that, things can be shaken. Abu Bakr did not. Abu Bakr, we studied that the last time we met. He said that whoever worshipped Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Muhammad is dead. But those who worship Allah, then Allah is alive, and Allah is not to die. And then one of the very important events in Islam is an event happened after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is Ar-Ridda. Ar-Ridda is the rebellion of the new Muslims, of the Arabs, against the Islam, where only three mosques left on Islam. That is Mecca, Medina, and Al-Bahrain. And everything else changed the religion. Abu Bakr stood against some of the closest Sahaba, including Umar. When Umar said, Abu Bakr, the entire Arabia is against us. So why don't you just let them not pay zakah? Let's negotiate. Let's try to mellow down, because we don't have an army to defend ourselves. They had the army of Usama that already left to fight the Romans, and the Medina was left with very few to defend it. And then Umar came to Abu Bakr and said, why don't we just negotiate with them? Why don't we give this thing up? As long as they say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, let's not fight them. And Abu Bakr said to him this, his famous say, أَجَبَّارٌ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خَوَّارٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ يَا عُمَرُ. Are you a strong, brave man in the days of ignorance, and you're a coward on the days of Islam? That if they prevented the rope of a piece of rope that they would give to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would fight them for it. And had not Abu Bakr stood for that position on that day, we would have a disfigured Islam. The zakah would be gone. Then Allahu A'lam, once we start losing one corner after the other, and the zakah is a pillar of Islam. If we look at one of the pillars of Islam, then with the Islam that would reach us today will be a completely different religion. So that's one of the very important positions that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq stood for the religion of Islam. And that's why we have to study, and we have to understand, and we have to meet and know this great companion, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So who is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? We'll start with his biography. We'll start with his identification card. We'll start with his ID. His name, his real name is Abdullah, son of Uthman. His real name is Abdullah. Now there is some dispute that his name was Abdul Ka'bah, and then he was changed to Abdullah after his Islam by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, most scholars agree that his real name was Abdullah. His father's name was Uthman, and his father he had a nickname as Abu Quhafa. So you will see Abu Bakr's name in many books as Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa, Abdullah son of Abi Quhafa. He had a nickname before Islam, and his nickname was Atiq. Atiq had different meanings in Arabic. One story about his nickname as Atiq stated that his mother used to have many children, and every little child will die after their birth. But when Abu Bakr was born, she took him to Kaaba, to the Kaaba. And she asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her this son and to free him from death. And the freed slave in Arabic called Atiq. So this boy lived to become Abu Bakr, and she called him Atiq al-Kaaba, the freed one of the Kaaba. That's one thing. The other story about why his name was Atiq is because he had a handsome face. And al-ataqa in Arabic is handsomeness. So that is another way of understanding that name. His title was Abu Bakr. And that's the name that most people know him with, is Abu Bakr. Bakr is the young male camel. That's what Bakr means. However, Arabs used to call people Bakr. And there is a main tribe in Arabic that we studied when we were studying Sirah called the people of Bakr. So that was a common name in Arabia, and Abu Bakr was called by that. His other title, or the shuhra of Abu Bakr, the famous name of his was As-Siddiq. And this title he got on the day of Isra, when people came to Abu Bakr, and they were happy, the unbelievers. Say, come and hear what your friend is saying. He said that last night, he went from Mecca to Jerusalem, to Al-Quds, and he came back on the same day, on the same night. And then he said, did he say that? And they said, yes, he said that. And he said, well, if he said that, then I would believe it. If I believe that he is receiving revelation from the heavens, how could not I believe that he can travel on this earth that fast, make the journey of Isra? So then he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I heard that you're saying that you left to Al-Quds, to Jerusalem last night, and you came back. Did you say that? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, I did that. And then Abu Bakr said, Sadaqt. Then you are truthful. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, and he said, Wa anta ya Aba Bakrin as-Siddiq. And you, Abu Bakr, is as-Siddiq, the one with the truth, or the truthful man. Abu Bakr is from Quraysh. He is a man of Quraysh, and he meets with the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam six fathers up in their family genealogy. So he is actually related distantly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just for the record, I would say his nasab, his genealogy: Abdullah ibn Uthman ibn Amir ibn Amr ibn Ka'b ibn Sa'd ibn Taym ibn Murrah ibn Ka'b. Murrah ibn Ka'b is where he meets with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their genealogy. Ibn Lu'ay ibn Ghalib ibn Fikr ibn Fihr ibn Malik ibn Nadr, etc., all the way to Ma'd ibn Adnan. So he is from Quraysh. One other thing that is known about Abu Bakr is his birth date, and his birth was 2 years after the year of the elephant, after Aam al-Fil. So he's two years younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did Abu Bakr look like? What kind of a man he was in the way he looked? This is narrated from his daughter. His daughter is Aisha. Aisha bint Abu Bakr, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the mother of the believers. She said, he was, كان أبيض نحيفا خفيف العارضين. He was fair-complected, he had whiter skin, and he was very thin. He was a thin man, very slender. خفيف العارضين. أجنأ. He had a little bit of a stoop. He would stoop a little bit. لا يستمسك إزاره. His belt would come down, as he is very thin, very slender, that he did not have much of a waist, and his belt would come down. معروق الوجه. His face, his bones are prominent in his face. He had a, you know, he didn't have that full cheeks like like I do with all the weight. He had his cheeks, his bones would be prominent because he was very thin. غائر العينين, his eyes were sunk a little bit in his face. It's also another sign that he was very thin. He was very slender. And his fingers, the joints of his fingers were also prominent. So he did not have much skin or fat, even in his arms or hands or his entire body. And he was Afra. In Arabic, Afra is the man that has a lot of hair. Had a lot of hair, and his beard was very thick, and his head also was full of hair. He was not bald. And one time, as they came to Umar, and Umar was bald. Umar had no hair on not much hair on his head. And they came to Umar and they said, "People with hair are better, Umar, or people with that hair?" They were trying to test him about him and Abu Bakr, and he said, "No, people with hair are better." He said that I meant Abu Bakr is better than me. Another thing that is narrated in Umar, Jazakallah khair, he did not actually have red hair, but he used to dye his hair when he had gray hair. He would put the henna, right. He would put that on his beard, and he would mix it also with something that has a little bit of a darker tone, al-henna wal-katam. So he would mix that, and he would dye his hair and his beard. And one time they brought his father, Abu Quhafa, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to declare Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that in his whole hair and beard were all very white and gray. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Why don't you dye it for him with henna?" So Abu Bakr did that also with that recommendation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was medium in height. He was medium in height and very thin. He was not tall, he was not short, but what was narrated from him that he was weak in his body. And he would always tell Umar that you are stronger than me. But actually we will see in many events that he was actually stronger than Umar in many, many positions that he took. Before Islam, he was a merchant in Quraysh. And he was known for his behavior. He was known for his good dealing with people. He was a good trade man in Quraysh, and people loved him for his dealing with others. And before Islam, he was, in the days of Jahiliyyah, he was a friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the relation between him and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam go to before the days of Islam, and very few Sahaba had that relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the journey that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made with his uncle Abu Talib to Asham, to the Syria, and he met with the monk Bahira, a rahib, Abu Bakr was there. Abu Bakr was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that journey, and he heard of the events. So he had few signs of things that were happening to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the things that was also narrated upon Aisha for her father, that he never drank alcohol on the days of Jahiliyyah, where it was allowed. And it was actually allowed for many years into Islam. And he never drank alcohol. He never drank khamr. And when he had Islam, he was a rich man. When he entered into Islam, he had a capital that was narrated as 40,000 dirham. So he was he considered a wealthy man in Quraysh, and he spent his entire wealth for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will see how. He was also was a very honorable man in the days of Jahiliyyah. He had honor. He was from the elite of Quraysh and the honorable people. One time a man came to him and he said, "I need you to go with me to help me with something, but we cannot go through this neighborhood." He said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I have problem with this neighborhood." He said, "I don't walk with a man that has to shy or hide from somebody else. When I walk with you and I will defend you, you will be a man of honor." So he had that much honor and dignity. Another thing that narrated on Abu Bakr, that he said, "I never prostrated, I never made sujood to an idol, to a sanam at all, ever. One time, my father, Uthman, Abu Quhafa, took me to the idols and he said, هذه آلهتك شم العوالي, here's your gods. And he left me there. So I was a boy and I asked the idols, I said, I am hungry, feed me. And nothing happened. He said, I'm thirsty, give me water. And he said, nothing happened. So he was a boy, said, I took stone and I threw it at them. And one of them fell down. And I said, I will never worship something like that ever. So he never worshipped idols even before Islam. And that was what was narrated upon Abu Bakr before the days of Islam. Abu Bakr, as we said, he was a friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew him, he had a good dealing with him before Islam. Now here we are, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 40, and Abu Bakr is 38-year-old man, and he hears people come to Abu Bakr and they tell him, Muhammad is saying something that is weird, an astonishing thing. He says that people should leave the worship of their gods and to worship only one God, a God that nobody can see. What's wrong with your friend? What's wrong with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So Abu Bakr said, came to the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he knocks on the door, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out, and Abu Bakr said, Ya Abul Qasim, ما الذي بلغني عنك? Abu al-Qasim is the title of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, what I hear about you? And Abu Bakr said, and Rasulullah alaykum salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وما بلغك عني يا أبا بكر? What do you hear about me, Abu Bakr? He said, بلغني أنك تدعو إلى توحيد الله وزعمت أنك رسول الله. I heard that you are calling to the oneness of God and you are claiming that you are the prophet of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نعم يا أبا بكر. إن ربي جعلني بشيرا ونذيرا وجعلني دعوة إبراهيم وأرسلني إلى الناس جميعا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me the bringer of glad tidings and made me a warner to mankind. And He made me to complete the message of Ibrahim, and He sent me to the entire people. And Abu Bakr immediately said, وَاللَّهِ مَا جَرَّبْتُ عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا. Wallahi, I knew that you never lied to me. وَإِنَّكَ لَخَلِيقٌ بِالرِّسَالَةِ. And you are worthy of the message of Allah. لِعِظَمِ أَمَانَتِكَ. Because you are trustworthy. وَصِلَتِكَ لِرَحِمِكَ. Because you go and you do good deeds with your family, with your people. وَحِسْنُ فَعَالِكَ. And your good deeds among people. مُدَّ يَدَكَ فَإِنِّي مُبَايُعَكَ. Stretch your hand and I will come to your religion. He was the first man that declared Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا دَعَوْتُ أَحَدًا إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا كَانَتْ مِنْهُ عِنْدَهُ كَبْوَةٌ وَنَظَرٌ وَتَرَدُّدٌ. I never called anybody to Islam unless they hesitated for a second at least, unless they thought about it or contemplated the issue, except Abu Bakr. Except for Abu Bakr. إِلَّا مَا كَانَ مِنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ مَا عَكَمَ عَنْهُ. He did not hesitate with the issue. عَنْهُ حِينَ ذَكَرْتُهُ لَهُ وَمَا تَرَدَّدَ فِيهِ. And he immediately went into Islam. So the first male to come into Islam, according to most scholars, was Abu Bakr. And the first Muslim ever, as we know, was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And there is also a poet from the poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hassan ibn Thabit, that confirms this, and this is just a confirmatory poetry, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that poetry about Abu Bakr being the first man to be a Muslim, and he acknowledged it as the truth. So it is true that Abu Bakr was the first man to become a Muslim. There's so many evidence and narrations that Abu Bakr is the first Muslim, but I think it's an obvious issue, so I will not dwell on that too much. What is the first thing that Abu Bakr does after he enters into Islam? Now, Abu Bakr became the first Muslim. Does he go home and does he sit there and does he start worshipping? No. He does what every Muslim should do. He made the da'wah. First day, first thing, he became a Muslim, he gave his pledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes to his friend, Uthman. Uthman ibn Affan. And he calls upon him for Islam. He finishes, he goes to another friend, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. And he calls upon him to Islam. He finishes with him, and he goes to Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Then he goes to Uthman ibn Maz'un. Then he calls to Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam. And he starts spreading Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called upon this very good friend of his, and this best man that he knew, and that man was actually worthy of that call. And immediately, he went out and he started delivering da'wah. So some of the, who are the people that embrace Islam being called by Abu Bakr? As we mentioned, Uthman ibn Affan, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Uthman ibn Maz'un, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Abu Salama, wal-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam. Now of these I mentioned probably about 7 of the 10 are that one that are given the glad tiding of Jannah, because he is the 7th one. 6 of them were brought to Islam by Abu Bakr, by his effort in da'wah to Islam. And these names are just the glorious names of Islam. And these are the earliest Muslims that were brought to this religion. Al-Ashran al-Mubashareen bil-Jannah, yes sir. 6 of them he brought to Islam. 6 of them Abu Bakr immediately brought to Islam. And then he went on defending and being with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we studied how the early days of Islam were days of oppression. Were days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given a permission for Muslims to even defend themselves. And most of the da'wah were secretive. And they would gather in the house of Al-Arqam, Ibn Abi Al-Arqam, who was brought to Islam by Abu Bakr himself. And they would study Quran and they would study the new religion. But they were persecuted by Quraysh. And one time, Quraysh gathered around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they started trying to beat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr came to the help and to the aid of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. You want to kill a man just because he says, my Lord, my God is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. And he brought you the evidence, he brought you the clear signs that he is the Prophet and there is only one Allah. And then they started beating Abu Bakr. And some of them would take their shoes and start beating on Abu Bakr until he passed out. And his face was so swollen that people did not know the features of his face, and he was taken and he was very close to death on that day. And this happened more than once. He was beaten and he was tormented in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like most of the Sahaba. No matter what their status in Quraysh, nobody was really exonerated from this honor of being tormented in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he would defend him. That is his jihad with his own self. But he also made jihad with a very important thing also, his money. We said he was a wealthy man, he was a wealthy merchant in Quraysh. One of the things that happened during the early days of da'wah is many slaves embraced Islam. Many people that were in the custody of non-believers were embracing Islam, and those were easy prey to their masters for torment and for torture. And what Abu Bakr did is he would go and buy some of them and then he would set them free in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was well documented and well known that he freed 7 of them. One of the most famous ones is Bilal ibn Rabah. Bilal was a slave to Umayyah ibn Khalaf. And what Umayyah would do, he would take Bilal to the heat of the desert and he would strap Bilal and he would put heated rocks on top of him and he would torture him. And Bilal would say nothing but Ahadun Ahad, he is one, he is one, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Waraqah ibn Nawfal, The Waraqa, if you remember, he is the cousin of Khadija. He would come by and he would tell Bilal, he said, Ahadun Ahad ya Bilal. Yes, he is one, Bilal. He is one. And he would look at Quraysh and he would say, if this man would die, I will take his grave as a place of mercy. So they would be ashamed of what they're doing to Bilal. But then Abu Bakr came to Umayyah. And he asked him, would you sell me this slave? And he said, yes, I will sell him to you. After you corrupted him. He was telling Abu Bakr, you corrupted my slave. And he said, how much would you ask for him? He said, five ounces of gold. And Abu Bakr said, I will buy him from you for 5 ounces of gold. And Umayyah laughed at him. And he said, if you bargained, I would have sold him for you for one. And Abu Bakr said, if you bargained, I would have bought him from you for 100. That is how much Bilal is worth to me. And he bought Bilal and he freed him. So the Sahaba would say, Bilalun Sayyiduna wa a'taqahu Sayyiduna. That Bilal is our master and he was freed by our master, by the Honorable Abu Bakr. Another slave that he freed was the slave of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Now Umar ibn al-Khattab was late in coming to Islam. He came to Islam 3 years late, and he was a 40th person to come into Islam. So he was not from the very early ones. He was early enough, though. But his slave, a lady called Zunayra al-Rumiyya. Now, Umar ibn al-Khattab used to torture Zunayra until she went blind from torture. He tortured her so much until she lost her vision. So people said, oh, Allatu al-Izza made Zunayra blind. That Allatu al-Izza, the idols, took the vision of Zunayra. And Zunayra said, no, wallahi, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me back my vision just to show you that the idols are not the ones that took my vision away. So her vision came back to her that morning. And they said, oh, that's the sorcery, that's the magic of Muhammad. So when the vision was taken away, it's the God. But when the vision came back to her, it's sorcery from Muhammad. And Abu Bakr bought her and freed her. And what they would say about this slave, they would say, if this religion was good, لو كان خيرا ما سبقتنا إليه زنيرة. That if this religion was of any importance, then this slave would not embrace him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وقال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا لو كان خيرا ما سبقونا إليه. That those who this rejected, the unbeliever, said to those who believe, if this was good religion, they would not be of that religion, they would not advance to that religion before us. And that was about Zunayra. Another three slaves that he bought was a woman called An-Nahdiyah, and she had two daughters. And they will be tortured also, and they will be tormented by people of Bani Abd al-Dar so they can leave Islam. So Abu Bakr went to her, to the lady of these three slaves. And he asked her, would you sell them to me? And she said, well, you corrupted them, you buy them. I will, because she swore that she will never free them. He said, why don't you just relieve your oath and I'll buy them from you. You don't have to free them, I will free them for you. She said, I will do that. And they were not in the house. They took some grains, some wheat to make flour out of it. And Abu Bakr went on and he said, well, you are free now, you don't have to do this. And these three Muslims said, no, we're going to finish our duty. We will finish making the flour. We'll bring it to the house and then we will be free. I mean, even with their tormentors, these Muslims were good in their service. Another lady that he freed was a slave to Bani Adi. And she was a Muslim. And Bani Adi were the tribe of Umar. So they would bring Umar to torture that slave. And she was not his slave, but he just volunteered to torture her. So he would come and torture her until he get bored. And then he apologized to her. He said, I'm going to have to stop torturing you because I'm bored. Because I can't torture you anymore. And this is how much he was tortured. And then Abu Bakr came and freed this lady. Another event that happened in early Islam was a bet. Now betting was not haram. Qimar was not haram in the early days of Islam. Very few things were actually haram. It was just establishing La ilaha illallah is what happened in the first 13 years. So Abu Bakr was a merchant in Quraysh, and they would hear the news from what happens between Persia and Rome. And the Muslims' feelings, the Muslims always were with the Romans, because they were Christians, because they were people of a book. And the unbelievers, the people of idolatry, their feelings were with the Persians, because they were fire and idol worshippers. So they were just like them. And then in the battle of that happened in Adra'at, the Persian army defeated the Roman army. Do you see, our brothers, our Persians, the Persian that worshipped the fire, beat the people of the book, that have book just like you. So we are victorious, and they were happy. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Ar-Rum. Alif Lam Mim, غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Rome has been defeated in the close land, which is basically in Syria. And then after their defeat, they will be victorious in few years. And then Abu Bakr went out to the Nadwa, to the place of gathering of Quraysh, and he said, أَفَرِحْتُمْ بِظُهُورِ إِخْوَانِكُمْ عَلَى إِخْوَانِنَا. Are you happy that your brothers are victorious over our brothers? Do not be happy. وَلَا تَقَرَّنَّ بِذَٰلِكَ أَعْيُنُكُمْ. Do not be happy, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the news that the Romans will beat the Persians. And Ubay ibn Khalaf came up and he said, who told you that? He said, Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told our Prophet that. And then Ubay said, كَذَبْتَ يَا أَبَا فَصِيلٍ. Abu Fasil is a derogatory word they would use to call Abu Bakr. We know how they used to call sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad, they would call him Muzammam. Abu Bakr, they would call him Abu Fasil. So he said, you lie, Abu Fasil. Abu Bakr said, you are the liar, Ya Adu Allah. You are the one that lies, you enemy of Allah. And then Ubay said, Unahibuk. I will have a bet with you. I will bet you 10 qala'is, it's 10 ounces of gold from you and 10 ounces of gold from me, that this will not happen. And we will say that in 3 years. Abu Bakr say, I will accept. For 3 years, if that doesn't happen, I'll give you 10 ounces of gold. So he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told him that. He said, this is what happened and this is what I did with Ubay. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Bid'ah, the word bid'ah means 3 to 9 years. So go back to Ubay and increase the bet, make it higher and increase the duration. So he went to Ubay and he said, what, Abu Bakr, are you trying to get away from me? He said, no. Well, let's make it 100. Let's make it 100, but we'll have to make it to up to 9 years. Ubay said, yes. Ubay would say, Muhammad will never beat, who can beat the Persian Empire? Nobody can. So they had the bet, and Ubay actually died before he died in Uhud.
Could this tell the Prophet of Truth of betting then?
Yes, he did, and we'll, let me just continue, we'll see what happened. And then it went on till Al-Hudaybiyah. Al-Hudaybiyah, when after the Hudaybiyah, actually the Roman army beat the Persian army. So the children of Ubay delivered 100 to Abu Bakr, and he brought it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tasaddaq biha," then give it all in charity. And after that, all betting was forbidden. All betting became haram. Among that persecution, among that hatred and animosity towards Muslims that were so rampant in Quraysh and in Mecca, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that the Muslims that are suffering from persecution and oppression, that they can immigrate and they can travel to Habasha, to Avicenna. And Abu Bakr was of the ones that actually wanted to make that hijrah, because it is an order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. this hadith is from Al-Bukhari, from Sahih Al-Bukhari, and it is narrated on the authority of Aisha, radiyallahu anha. He said, لَمْ أَعْقِلُوا أَبَوَيَّ إِلَّا وَهُمَا يَدِينَانِ الدِّينِ. That when I was born and I started know what's going around me, that means since the early days when she was a young girl, that she knew that her parents were Muslims. Now her mother is Ummu Ruman. Ummu Ruman had two children for Abu Bakr, Aisha and Abdurrahman. Now we know Asma is her sister as well, but the mother of Asma is different. Abu Bakr had four wives. Abu Bakr had Qatila, who is the mother of Asma, and Abdullah. Ummu Ruman is the mother of Aisha and Abdurrahman. And Asma ibn Umayth, she is the mother of Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. And after the death of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, she was married to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the fourth wife was Habiba. Habiba, she was with him when he died, and she was pregnant when Abu Bakr died. And after his death, she had a girl, and her name was Umm Kulthum. So the mother of Aisha was Umm Ruman, and she's saying that my parents were Muslims when I was born. And every day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to us, either at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day. And then when Muslims were tested by the tribulation and the persecution, Abu Bakr went out in emigration to Habasha. When he reached the area of Burak al-Ghamad, now Burak al-Ghamad is closer to Yemen, it's south of Mecca, so he was heading towards Yemen to get the boat and get to Habasha. He was seen by Ibn al-Dughna. Al-Dughna he's a man from Al-Qarra. Al-Qarra is a place south of Mecca. It's between Mecca and Al-Yemen. And he knew Abu Bakr. He knew him from the trade and the days before Islam. And he said, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ تُرِيدْ يَا أَبَا بَكْر? Where are you going, Abu Bakr? He said, أَخْرَجَنِي قَوْمِي. I was expelled from Mecca. And I am going to Habasha. I'm going to Abyssinia. أريد أن أسيح في الأرض وأعبد ربي. I want to emigrate in the land and I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the goal of his emigration. This man Ibn Dughna said, إِنَّ مِثْلَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ لَا يَخْرُجُ وَلَا يُخْرَجُ. Somebody like you, Abu Bakr, cannot be expelled and he should not leave his tribe. إِنَّكَ تَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. That if somebody is impoverished and in poverty, that you give him money. And you تحمل الكل. And if somebody is tired, needs help, you help them. وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. And you host the guest in your house. And you give him the hospitality. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And you help those who are hit with calamity. فَأَنَا لَكَ جَارٍ. I will be your protector. Now we spoke of that system of protection. That if somebody give the protection to someone, that entire tribe is responsible for the protection of that person. And Ibn Dughunna was the chief of this people of Al-Qarra, so he had a lot of power and many people that can support him. He said to Abu Bakr, I will be your protector. Go back to Mecca. And then he took Abu Bakr and he went back to Mecca and he went around the Kaaba and he told all the honorable people in Mecca around the Kaaba that I am the protector of Abu Bakr. And then he said that can you expel somebody like Abu Bakr, somebody that helps the poor, somebody, he's an asset in Quraysh. That's what he's trying to tell him. He's an asset for you. This is a man that is full with good. How come you will expel somebody like that? And then they said to Ibn al-Dughunna, مُرْ أَبَا بَكْرٍ فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّهُ فِي دَارِهِ فَلْيُصَلِّ فِيهَا. Let Abu Bakr pray and worship in his own house. Now, the danger of Abu Bakr was a da'wah. Abu Bakr was dangerous not because he was just a good Muslim, but because he was spreading Islam from day one. So that's why Quraysh would accept expelling an honorable man like him. They said, وَلْيَقْرَأْ مَا يَشَاءُ. Let him read whatever he wants in his house. وَلَا يُؤْذِينَا وَلَا يَسْتَعْلِنْ بِهِ. But let him not declare what he reads. فَإِنَّنَا نَخْشَىٰ أَنْ يَفْتِنَ نِسَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَنَا. that we are afraid that he will corrupt our women and our children. He will let them come to Islam, to the corruption. And then Ibn Dughanna told Abu Bakr, I'm your protector, go to your house and worship God. So what Abu Bakr did is in his house, he had like a small garden or some type of patio or something in his house. And he would go out and he would just make salah and make Quran. And Abu Bakr was one of the people known as al-Bakka'een. He used to cry. He could not read the Quran without passion. He would read the Quran and he would always cry. And if we remember the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he died, when he asked Abu Bakr to go lead the prayer, Aisha said, nobody will understand what he's saying because he cries too much. So he was one of the people that cry when he reads Quran. So he would sit there and he would read Quran in a loud voice and then he would start crying. This passionate recitation of Quran, and the young children and the young people of Quraysh would gather and listen to him. And they were just taken by what he's doing. And they would want to listen more and hear more, and then the Quraysh said, no, that's too dangerous. That cannot happen. So they send to Ibn Dughanna and he said, well, we have an agreement. He said, our agreement that he will worship in his house. Ibn Dughanna said, well, he is worshiping in his house. He said, well, he is just declaring things. People are still hearing them. We want him to worship inside. He cannot worship outside. So he came to Abu Bakr and he said, Abu Bakr, that I don't want to take my protection from you, but you have to worship inside and not let people hear you reciting Quran. Abu Bakr said, I will give you back your protection. I will take the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I will continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as loud as I want. And he continued to tolerate the persecution and to tolerate the torment of Quraysh until the very important event of Al-Hijrah. And inshallah, next session we will start with the event of Al-Hijrah, where Abu Bakr had the honor that the Sahaba used to envy him with, that becoming the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the most important, one of the most important events in Islamic history, that is Al-Hijrah, and he was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was chosen by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take that honor, and he was more than worthy with the honor of becoming the companion's companion, the Prophet's companion during the event of Hijrah. So, inshallah, that what would have in the next session. We'll go through the Hijrah and some of the events after the Hijrah and prelude to the events that happen after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we will go into the years, the only 2.5 to about almost 3 years of the reign of Abu Bakr as Khalifa, as the first successor to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During that time, as we will understand the importance of Abu Bakr during this early years of Islam, we see how pivotal he was, how important Abu Bakr was in moving all these great companions and recruiting them into the da'wah of Islam. He was very important in Medina as well during the years of jihad. He was very important on the day of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the division could fall among the Muslim ummah and all the what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam built could have be shaken that day. On the day of Saqifah, he had two important positions that day. The time of the death, and then the time of the selection of the first successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the years of Ar-Riddah. قُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. And if you have any comments or questions, please go ahead. The two hadith are narrated that لَوْ كَانَ نَبِيٍّ بَعْدِي كَانَ عُمَرٍ, that if there would be a prophet after Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, it would be Umar. Does that make Umar more preferable or better than Abu Bakr? Actually, does not. And many signs indicate to that. One of them is how Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it was a clear distinction between Abu Bakr and Umar at the time of his sickness. when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for Abu Bakr 3 times to be the leader of Salah, to be the Imam. And the leader of Salah is the leader of the people at that, obviously at that time. And then the man that came out of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not find Abu Bakr. So he found Umar. And they would know that Umar would be second in command. So he asked Umar to lead the prayer. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard Umar leading the prayer, and he got angry, and he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept that, or his prophet. And he was very angry with that. He did not want Umar to lead Abu Bakr. Now, the other issues that were there is what Umar himself said to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr did not dispute that. Abu Bakr wanted Umar to become the successor after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "You are stronger than me, Umar." Umar said, "You are better than me. And my strength is to you with your fadl, with your grace, with what you have." Then Abu Bakr accepted. So it was really a known thing that Abu Bakr was in front of Umar in many things. Now, why is that the hadith that if there would be a prophet after me would be Umar? Right. Why would that be? Because Umar was right on many issues in Quran that Abu Bakr was not. Some of them would be the Asra, the prisoner of war of Badr. When Umar was in one opinion, Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were on another, and Quran came to support Umar. Many things that Umar would say, as if the wahi was coming. When Umar came to Islam, he said, "Rasulullah, ala nasda' bima nu'mar." Why don't we just declare Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come down with the revelation with Jibreel, "Fasda' bima tu'mar." Then he would agree with Umar too many times. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if Umar is receiving revelation, as much as that agreed with Umar. So there are two different issues here. But the leadership, the qualities of Abu Bakr to be in the forefront in successing as a successor to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar did not dispute that at all. He knew that that would be the place of Abu Bakr and no one else. Questions, will inshallah get ready for Salat al-Isha. Jazakumullah khair. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا أرحم الراحمين. Allahumma teach us all that we don't know about our religion, and make us of those who hear the best of the words and follow the best of it. Allahumma help us to translate the learning into action, and to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those companions that protected this religion, and they delivered this beautiful religion and protected it for us so we can follow it and become faithful, truthful Muslims. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.